Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Thursday morning. Vanessa Denha Garmo, host of Epiphany, filling in for my dear sister Teresa Tomeo this beautiful winter morning. Here in Michigan, I'm looking at lots of snow, but it's very picturesque. It's absolutely gorgeous. Today is the feast day of St. Titus and St. Timothy today. I actually posted information about both on my social media platforms. You can follow me on Twitter and Communications Evangelist Coach Vanessa Denha Garmo on Facebook. And this is from Vatican News. Information about both of these saints and followers of St. Paul the Apostle. And I was talking earlier today about thinking about who are we following, and maybe consider reading the letters of St. Paul to Timothy and Titus today as we discern, you know, where the Lord is leading us. And I spoke earlier about how I've prayed for many years ago, started a prayer that said, God, bring the people in my life who will lead me the direction you want me to go. And he's brought amazing people in my life, including my spiritual director, Father Alex, and Teresa Tomeo and Al Cresta and my friends from the Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center here in Detroit, really helping me in my own faith formation and leading me along the way. And I'm very blessed to be surrounded with people who I could go to on a regular basis and have wonderful discussions about the faith and scripture and ask questions and really dive deep into our faith conversation, allowing the Lord to bring the people in my life who are going to lead me in the direction he wants me to go. And I really believe he's been doing that for the last couple decades since I've been praying that prayer. And so it's something to really kind of meditate and pray about today on the feast days of St. Timothy and Titus, who were followers of St. Paul the Apostle, who, of course, was ultimately following Jesus Christ. I mean, that's the whole point. We follow people who are going to lead us in the direction the Lord wants us to go, and that is to follow Jesus Christ. And are the people in your life leading you in that direction? And you can really pray about that. I take a lot up in prayer in the Eucharist, and, you know, really timely conversation today about the Eucharist, because we're talking about the evangelization tour. It's a 3-year, 21-city evangelization tour and Eucharistic revival to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through powerful speakers and local church leaders to encourage participants to be strengthened by the sacraments, personal teaching, and testimony, and become more active in the expression of their faith. So we're talking about the I Thirst events will be one-day events that include Mass, confession, teaching, music ministry, healing, and prayer. And to talk with us about that, joining us today, later in the hour, will be Deacon Steve Greco with the Spirit Hearts Ministry. He's a permanent deacon of the Diocese of Orange County, California, and promoting the Jesus Thirst for America movement. Teresa Tomeo is also very involved in this I Thirst movement. And so Saint Teresa of Calcutta said, no matter how far you have strayed without a destination, no matter how often you have forgotten me, no matter how many crosses you bear in this life, I want you to always remember one thing that will never change. I thirst for you, just as you are. That's from Jesus Christ. He thirsts for us. I thirst for you, Jesus says. And we find Jesus in the Eucharist. And along with that prayer that I started saying many, many years ago, I started something many years ago as well. And I started lifting up in prayer people who have frustrated me when I take the Eucharist. So when I go to church and I receive the Eucharist, I lift up in prayer people who have hurt me, who have frustrated me, stressed me out. I've lifted up those people in prayer. And it has been incredibly healing to do that. The Eucharist is so powerful. It is Jesus Christ we're consuming in our hearts and souls, Jesus Christ. And I know there's so many people that don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, and we have to pray for that. And this is why we have this Eucharistic revival, is to share truth about the Eucharist. And this is, there's many speakers that are part of this Eucharistic revival, and I'm really excited to talk to Deacon Steve Greco about this. But Teresa Tomeo, our own Teresa Tomeo, is involved in this as well. And they're having this both in English and Spanish. It's 21 cities across America, and it's wonderful. There's amazing speakers, and so we pray about who are we following, and who's following us. Take that into prayer. Go to adoration today and sit with the Lord. You know, we communicate in different ways, right? We communicate verbally, we communicate nonverbally, we communicate in writing, we communicate with visual art. So we can communicate with God sitting in adoration and silence. We can communicate with God by having conversations throughout the day. I have a beautiful picture of Jesus in my office. I have pictures of Jesus throughout my house. I pass by those pictures and I talk to Jesus throughout the whole day. That I have those conversations with Jesus throughout the whole day. We can communicate in all these different ways, right? And so we ask God to bring people in our life who will lead us in the direction the Lord wants us to go. And we could take those prayers to the Eucharist in adoration and why we consume the Eucharist in the sacraments that the church has blessed us with. So Deacon Steve Greco will be joining us. And then, as she always does every week, Joan Lewis from Rome will be joining us. Of course, the author of the blog Joan's Rome. She joins Teresa every week to give us the latest news about the Vatican concerning Pope Francis and our Catholic Church. So she'll be joining us as well this hour here on Catholic Connection. Again, I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for my dear sister in Christ, Teresa Tomeo, here on Catholic Connection. And now it's time for the news. So as I mentioned earlier, I'm looking at a beautiful, picturesque scene of snow-covered community. My neighborhood, my house, all snow-covered. We had some major snowfall in southeast Michigan yesterday, and it makes for a beautiful scene today, but it's quite chilly here in Michigan. 34 degrees is the high in the Detroit area, with more snow as expected. If we go in the northern Michigan and Sault Ste. Marie, it's a high of 31 degrees and more snow. If we look at the East Coast, if we're looking at Boston, a high of 37 degrees, snow expected there. Rain showers in New York are expected with a high of 44 degrees. Buffalo, 36 degrees. Washington, 46 degrees and rain. Charlotte, 60 degrees and rain. And then if you head down to the south in Jackson, Florida, rain showers are expected, but they have a high of 80 degrees. So I guess rain in 80, a little more tolerable. 84 in Tampa, 79 in Miami. And then we look at San Antonio, a high of 59 degrees and sunny all day. El Paso, also sunny and a high of 52 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, high of 61 degrees. Sunny skies in Los Angeles as well with a high of 71 degrees. San Francisco, a high of 62 and sunny skies there as well. And then Seattle, cloudy skies, 49 degrees. And let's see, in Rapid City, 34 degrees and snow. Kansas City, 36 and cloudy skies, and 31 in Denver and cloudy skies. Police still haven't established a motive for the shooting massacre that killed 11 people in Monterey Park. Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna spoke at a news conference on Wednesday night.
We do not believe the suspect has frequented the dance studio in the last 5 years. They have not been able to establish a connection between the suspect and any of the victims thus far.
Luna adds that the 72-year-old man was not married, which dismisses reports that he may have been looking for his wife. There is no romantic connection between the man and any of the victims. A JetBlue female passenger is lucky to be alive. Natalie Rodriguez has the story.
A medical scare in the air for one woman this morning on JetBlue Flight 571 from LaGuardia to Fort Lauderdale. But thanks to fast-acting staff and one man with EMT training on the plane, they were able to stabilize her after she fainted in the aisle. Photos were shared on Twitter showing the action over South Carolina. The plane making it to Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport, where paramedics have taken that woman to a local hospital. Natalie Rodriguez, Miami.
A bill to ban TikTok from being downloaded on U.S. devices was brought forward to Congress Wednesday by Republican Senators Josh Hawley and Ken Buck. The bill follows allegations by the two, as well as other mainly Republican lawmakers, that the Chinese-based app brings with its national security concerns. The proposal would direct President Biden to block and forbid transactions with TikTok's parent company, with penalties if there are attempts to bypass the sanctions. A 15-year-old Forest Park High School student is dead following an off-campus shooting. It happened around 3 p.m. yesterday in an alley behind the 4300 block of Liberty Heights Avenue. Mayor Brandon Scott joined Police Commissioner Michael Harrison at the scene for a news briefing.
We have to be better when it comes to each other. We should never be talking about the loss of any life through violence, especially our young people.
A Forest Park will open on a two-hour delay this morning, and counselors will be available for those who need support. Baltimore City Public Schools has issued a statement saying its thoughts are with the family, friends, and school community. Anyone with information on the shooting is asked to call police or Metro Crime Stoppers at 866-7-LOCK-UP. A group of Republicans want to reinstate service members who were fired for not getting the COVID vaccine. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas wants to award them back pay as well.
There are thousands upon thousands of servicemen and women who fought for our country, who Joe Biden and the Democrats wrongfully fired.
The recently passed defense bill ended the COVID vaccine mandate. However, it doesn't address those who were fired for refusing to follow orders. For those who don't want their jobs back, the Cruz-backed bill would change their military paperwork to show they were honorably discharged. Chicago candidate for Mayor Willie Wilson is under fire for a recent cash giveaway at a senior center on the city's south side. Perry Williams has more.
Alderman Roderick Sawyer, another candidate, has an issue with the businessman's actions.
You're running for mayor of the city of Chicago. You're passing out money to our older individuals in their senior homes and with campaign literature. If you add it up, it's totally unethical.
Wilson says he's not trying to buy votes.
I don't have to do that. I wouldn't do that. It wouldn't be fair to me. I don't take advantage of anybody.
Mayor Lightfoot's campaign called Wilson's recent giveaway seriously concerning. I'm Perry Williams.
Southwest Airlines posted a $220 million loss in the fourth quarter after its holiday meltdown. The cancellation of more than 17,000 flights last month drove up expenses and cost the airline millions in lost revenue. Southwest shares were down about 3% in pre-market trading after reporting results this morning. CNN reports actor Jeremy Renner was trying to stop his snowplow from hitting his nephew when he was pulled under and crushed by the vehicle on New Year's Day. More from Brian Shook.
Police in Nevada said when the actor was using the plow to pull his nephew's truck out of the snow, he exited the vehicle without setting the emergency brake. Renner was then pulled under the vehicle by the track and ran over. The Avengers actor suffered 30 broken bones from the accident, and it left him with blunt chest trauma. He's now recovering while going through physical therapy.
No one matched all six Powerball numbers Wednesday night, so the jackpot jumps to an estimated $572 million. The next drawing takes place Saturday. It's been more than 2 months since the last big Powerball winner. A huge asteroid is expected to fly by Earth tonight. Astronomers say the space rock, the size of a delivery truck, will make one of the closest approaches ever. But NASA said on Wednesday there's no risk of it actually hitting Earth. It's expected to be 2,200 miles above the southern tip of South America, about 10 times closer than some communication satellites when it buzzes past. NASA puts the asteroid's closest approach at 7:27 p.m. Eastern Time. It is 14 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio. When we come back, Deacon Steve Greco with the Spirit Hearts Ministry will be joining us.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
He was a doctor of the church, a Carmelite, and one of the most famous mystics of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. John of the Cross wanted to help all Christians to become saints. One of his most important teachings was to encourage us all to learn how to love. For there is no love, he said, put love, and you will find love. He died in 1591.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
It's a three-year, 21-city evangelization tour and a Eucharistic revival to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through powerful speakers and local church leaders to encourage participants to be strengthened by the sacraments, personal teaching, and testimony, and become more active in the expression of their faith. The I Thirst events are one-day events that include mass, confession, teaching, music, ministry, healing, and prayer. To talk with us about that and so much more is Deacon Steve Greco with Spirit Hearts Ministry. He's a permanent deacon of the Diocese of Orange, California. Deacon, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
Well, it is so exciting to be with you this morning and talk about what the Holy Spirit is doing in such a beautiful way through Eucharistic Revival and through our I Thirst movement.
So give our listeners an overview of what is the I Thirst movement and this Eucharistic Revival, and how can people get involved?
Well, one of the most important things for us is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Eucharist. And when we think about the Eucharistic Revival that's going across the country, across the world, we think about a thirst that Jesus has for us. He wants us to be filled with his love. And so in thinking about that, praying about that, and really meditating on what we can do to make a difference at Spiritful Hearts Ministry and as president of Spiritful Hearts Ministry, we came up with this concept of having a one-day event and then 52-week follow-up on how Jesus thirsts for us. And so this one-day event can be in your city. It begins with Mass, adoration, and then we have a series of incredible speakers. And these speakers will people from all over the country. And it starts again with the bishop really being there and welcoming us through his presence, through the Mass, through adoration. Then we get into talks on Eucharistic Revival. And one of the most important things, Vanessa, is at the end of the whole day, we have people come up. You know, you may remember the old Billy Graham Crusades. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, this is extremely Catholic, but we commission everyone to be Eucharistic evangelists. And so as a Eucharistic evangelist, what does that mean? That means you strive for daily Mass. That means you share your faith with other people, within your family, within your work, outside your work. It's unbelievably exciting. And people, the first event that we had, November 19th, we had over 1,500 people in English, Spanish, and Vietnamese. And now they're following up every single week. They get teaching, encouragement, and how to share their faith.
Wow, that's beautiful. And so when's the next event coming up? How can we attend?
So we are March 4th in Los Angeles. You go to JesusThirstForAmerica.com. It's a one-day event in the San Gabriel region. And then from there, we have actually a young adult event at Santiago Retreat Center. And this is a very unique event in which we have young adults from all over the country and certainly all over Southern California to have this event. It's a camp out. It's a full day event. We're going to be, it's really going to be incredible. And we'll have young adult speakers. And then after that, and of course, Teresa's part of this very important event in Fresno. And this is going to be March 18th. We have a series of speakers. Bishop Joseph Brennan is going to lead the charge. And I was just with him, and he's unbelievably exciting. And then from there, we're going to go to Birmingham again. And I know Teresa's going to be part of that in Birmingham. And in Birmingham, it will be on the site of the shrine of Mother Angelica, which is amazing.
Wow.
Then we'll be actually in Hawaii, July 14th and 15th. July 14th, all the priests of the diocese will be coming together to learn even more about evangelization and how to be catalysts for evangelization in their parishes. And then we have the all-day event. Then we're planning internationally. We're planning internationally in September to go to Vancouver, Canada, to go to the Philippines. And we're literally going all over the world with this movement. You can contact us by going to JesusThirstForAmerica.com if you want iThirst in your area. Our whole idea is during the three-year Eucharistic revival that we go all over the country, all over the world, a minimum 21 cities and beyond, to bring iThirst wherever you are.
So you also have James Wahlberg, an internationally known evangelist and film producer, who's going to be working on a film, a documentary about the Jesus Thirst for America movement.
Yes, and he will be at many of these events filming them. For example, he filmed the Orange County event, and you can go to our website to see it again, JesusThirstForAmerica.com. And Jim Wahlberg is absolutely unbelievable in his talent as a producer. As you know, he's executive producer for the Mother Teresa movie. Mm-hmm. But he is also an incredibly dynamic speaker. So he will be one of our featured speakers at many of these events, such as the one for the young adults. He'll also be, again, at many of the other events that we have across the country.
So, Deacon, I was speaking earlier in the show that, you know, and I've mentioned this a few times on the air and on my own show, Epiphany, that, you know, many years ago, I started offering up my Eucharist to people in my life who have frustrated me the most. You know, people have hurt me. People I've had issues with. Lately, it's been politicians that I may not know personally, but offering up my Eucharist to them, right?
Sure.
Can you speak to the power of the Eucharist and the concern that we have as Catholics, where so many Catholics don't even believe in the real presence of the Eucharist, but there's such power in the praying with the Eucharist and offering that Eucharist. I can't tell you how healing that has been for me, you know, offering my Eucharist to those people.
Well, we know, for example, in 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that the gospel is not a message that is weak, but one of power. If you think about being energized by the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus, you think about, I need spiritual tools. I need Jesus. Where do we get Jesus? Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. So one of the things when I became a deacon 15 years ago and then started Spiritful Hearts Ministry, in my spiritual direction, the priest was very, very clear that, Deacon, if you're serious about this, you need to go to daily Mass. You need to receive the Eucharist on a daily basis. It's not optional. This is something that, do you want the power of the Holy Spirit upon you? Do you want to be living out your faith? You want Jesus to fill your heart, your soul? Well, then go to Mass on a daily basis. And many places all over the country, their Mass is all day long, early in the morning, midday, after work. There are Masses everywhere, but we must make it a priority. So that's the reason iThirst exists. iThirst exists because of this Eucharistic revival and the need to have the Eucharist part of our life. We cannot live in the way that God has intended us to live, an abundant life, as in John 10:10. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. How do we get that abundant life? We get that abundant life by attending Mass daily, having the Eucharist fill our hearts and soul, and then, of course, frequent reconciliation, you know, as frequent as required. We need to have our soul filled with joy filled with the Eucharist, filled with love. And if we do trip and fall, go to reconciliation. Go and ask for forgiveness of your sins. And then get right back on, you know, attending Mass on a daily basis to be able to fill your hearts and soul.
We're talking with Deacon Steve Greco here on Catholic Connection. There is a I Thirst series going on, I Thirst and a Eucharistic Revival, part of the Eucharistic Revival. I Thirst and happening, Teresa Tomeo is part of it, is Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. We're talking with him. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk to the Deacon, Deacon Steve, about how do we approach people who don't believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. We'll continue that conversation with Deacon Steve right after the break.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from his perspective, what's the friendship that we have with him look like? How would he describe our friendship with him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
How does one describe Christ's relationship to his church? The Catholic Catechism says Christ is one with his church. He is the head, we are the members. Head and members together make up the whole body of Christ. Head and members form, as it were, one and the same mystical person. St. Joan of Arc put it very simply to her judges. She said, "About Jesus Christ and the church, I simply know they're just one thing. We shouldn't complicate the matter." The Catechism also refers to the imagery of the bridegroom, the theme of Christ as the bridegroom of the church, as two in one relationship. Just as in marriage, two become one flesh, the church is portrayed as the spotless bride of the spotless Lamb. Christ has joined the church with himself in an everlasting covenant. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
A 3-year, 21-city evangelization tour and Eucharistic revival to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through powerful speakers and local church leaders to encourage participants to be strengthened by the sacraments, personal teaching and testimony, and become more active in the expression of their faith. We're talking about that with Deacon Steve Greco here with Spirit Hearts Ministry. And, you know, Deacon, I was saying earlier in the break that, you know, evil is so front and center today, and yet we don't even see how evil the world has gotten. I mean, we have this satanic statue that has been put up in New York City in front of the appellant court. I mean, the evil is just like right smack in front of our face. And in the world today, how important is the Eucharist in combating this evil?
Well, one of the most important things for us is to realize that we are in a war. Whether or not we recognize it, that's up to us. But Scripture in the church from day one has talked about this spiritual battle that we have with the enemy, with Satan. We see it now more than ever. We see it with churches being destroyed, the faith statues being pushed down and destroyed. We see it in our culture. We see it everywhere. So how do we combat that? We combat that by believing in the power of the Holy Spirit, in believing in the power of the Eucharist, by going to Mass, because we need armor. Take a look at the 6th chapter of Ephesians. We can't do it alone. We have to call upon the Holy Spirit, call upon Jesus. We have to attend Mass, reconciliation. We need to build up our armor. We need to build up our spiritual tools. We need to protect ourselves against evil. Best way of doing that is through the Eucharist. The best way of doing that is through reconciliation, through prayer, through the rosary, asking the Blessed Mother to get in and fill us, and praying the rosary every single day. One of the most important things we can do is pray for those not going to church, not believing in the real presence of the Eucharist, which two-thirds of Catholics historically have not believed in the real presence. From the very beginning, they believed in the real presence. From the very beginning, when Jesus said in John 6, "I am the bread of life," and talked about the power of the Eucharist, the power of the bread, the power of attending Mass in a way that transforms us. And so from the very beginning, the Church knew about the real presence and obviously has talked about that. Over time, some people, because I believe the enemy doesn't want us to believe in the real presence, over time, people began to question it. Well, it hasn't changed. And I invite every and all your listeners to just look up Eucharistic miracles all over the world. Many of them are fairly recent. All over the world, how God has shown us the power of the Eucharist in so many different ways. If you don't believe, just pray and ask the Lord to open up your eyes. Open up your eyes to see the truth, to be convinced of the truth. Because when we go to Mass and receive the body and blood of Christ and truly believe in his healing power, his power to transform us, our whole lives will change. When we go to the Mass and we pray for other people, our children, many of which are not going to Mass, our grandchildren, some of which are not baptized, let the power of the Eucharist transform your family. And that's you I'm talking to right now, listeners.
Yeah.
You know, many of you are listening right now and going, wow, he's talking to me. That's exactly right. The Holy Spirit is talking to you right now.
You know, I love that because there are many stories of Eucharistic miracles that you mentioned, and you can Google it. There's also the I Am Here series with the Archdiocese of Detroit, where many people write about their personal stories with the Eucharist. I had the honor of penning my own personal story, and there's so many wonderful ones there as well. And so, Deacon, when it comes, I love, you know, praying for our family members, and we know that there's so many adult parents who have raised their kids in the Catholic faith whose kids are not even going to church or practicing the faith. How do we even broach the conversation of even getting our family members back to church? We're not even back to pre-pandemic church attendance.
One of the most important things for us to do is to recognize how much Jesus loves us and ask our family members or friends or whoever it might be, do you realize that Jesus is love, that God is love? Do you realize that he loves us unconditionally? And maybe read a little bit to them about Romans 8, that nothing will separate them from the love of God, neither height nor depth, angels nor principalities, present things, future things. Nothing will separate them from the love of God. One of my favorites is Romans 8, 1, that says there's no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. People condemn themselves all the time. People feel hopeless. Lack of hope is really the predominant feeling for so many people. Jesus is hope. He's the God of hope. He's the God of mercy. He's the God of forgiveness. So you basically are the fifth gospel. So you tell people your story. It's not so much you're trying to convince them. You tell them your story. Why do you go to church? How have you been transformed? How has the Eucharist made a difference in your life? And when people are struggling, they have nowhere to turn. Where do they turn? Drugs, alcohol, sex that, you know, is outside of marriage. I mean, where do they turn? They try to fill this empty hole in their hearts with the world, and it never works. Jesus says he is peace. Only through Jesus will we have our hearts filled with joy. And so you just basically share your story. Share why Jesus transformed your hearts. There's my background is in sales, and there's a technique called feel, felt, found. I understand how you feel. I used to question myself. But then I found Jesus. I found the truth. that Jesus is real. He's real. And when I found that truth, it transformed my life.
What was the technique again? Feel?
Yeah. I understand how you feel. I used to, I felt the same way. But I found Jesus. Yeah.
Amen. That's a great approach. That's a great approach. Personal testimony can be so profound and so moving. And people will remember this testimony before they remember the point you're trying to make. That story will help them remember that point. We have about a minute left with you here, Deacon Steve Greco. What else do you want to share with our listeners before we let you go?
I want to share, go to JesusThirstForAmerica.com. Bring iThirst into your area. We're anxious to go all over the country. And the bottom line is this. You may have strayed from Jesus, but he's never strayed from you. And no matter how far you think you've gone, some people say, I've done the unforgivable thing. Jesus will never forgive me. That is a lie from the enemy. Jesus loves you exactly where you are. And I'll close with this quote from St. Teresa of Calcutta. No matter how far you've strayed without a destination, no matter how often you have forgotten me, no matter how many crosses you bear in this life, I want you to always remember one thing that will never change. I thirst for you, just you, as you are. That's what the I Thirst movement is all about, and we want to see you at one of our events.
Amen. Deacon Steve Greco, thank you so much for joining us here on Catholic Connection.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. God bless you and your listeners.
God bless you. SpiritFilledEvents.com. You can find out more of the I Thirst campaign. Stay with us, everyone. When we come back, Joan Lewis will be joining us.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We're back here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. And as always, Joan Lewis joins us from the Vatican, Joan's Rome, her blog. We read regularly, and she's here to talk with us about a women's conference and so much more. Joan, how are you today?
I'm great. It's kind of cold and windy here, but visitors from Chicago are in town, so they enjoy it.
Oh, well, it's cold, not so windy in Detroit.
No, the wind changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, so, wind does change everything. So let's talk about the Pope's remarks at a women's conference. What was going on there?
Well, there's been a three-day conference, and it's called the title. It's an international conference. Women building a culture of encounter interreligiously. And this was organized by the World Union of Catholic Women's Organizations, also with the Dicastery for Interreligious Dialogue. So I guess there were 12 different religions presented and presenting at this conference. And the Pope himself said it is not common for followers of 12 religions to come together and discuss important questions concerning promoting peace, understanding in our world that is so wounded. And he said the fact your conference is devoted to listening to the experiences and perspectives of women is all the more valuable, since our quest for peace must increasingly involve women. He said because women bestow care and life upon the world, they are themselves a path towards peace. So I thought those were, you know, very wonderful words. And he said each of the women present with their own religious tradition, whatever it is, has the wisdom to offer the world, infusing it with the spirit of warmth, healing, and fraternity. Mm. And he said actually several times that he was thanking the conference for rediscovering the feminine aspects of their respective religious traditions and showing how they can contribute to a culture of encounters. So,
you know, Joan, that's such an important message. It's such an important message because there's such a there's such criticism on the church that there's no role for women in the church, which is so not true.
Absolutely. I mean, there's not an ordained role is what most people mean when they say there's no role for women, because who in the heck keeps a parish going? I mean, you know, unless you have an extraordinarily big parish and someone who's there to wash the, you know, hired just for washing the altar linens, you generally often in so many parishes, you have, you know, some women in the parish take care of things in the church and they do the altar linens and they offer to do this. This is just part of what they consider their role in the parish. And there's so many women roles in international and national religious organizations. And they're on the first front, whether it's the cry to end abortion or the cry for world peace or hunger, whatever it might be, it's always women who are on the front line. And if you see a group of 50,000 people marching down the street, the ones literally in the front line are going to be women. They care. They care about the education of children. They care about families not having to live in poverty. They care about families not having to live in war zones and to worry about where their next meal is coming from or the deaths that come from weapons. There's just every single aspect of life that women care about and are involved in, you know, whether it's education or passing on the religion, you know, in a family, it's just they're everywhere.
Yeah.
And, like the EWTN motto.
Yeah.
You know, women are everywhere. They build cultures, not just as this talk says, women building a culture of encounter interreligiously. They build so many cultures, the culture of life, the culture of education. And, you know, we have to be enormously grateful for the women who are on the front lines. And I'm certainly happy that it's, you know, the Holy Father acknowledged this. And the talks at this conference are looking at the role of women and women's leadership in, as more or less we just said, social, economic, religious, and political life at the local, the national, and the international levels.
Yeah.
And then also women rediscovering their own religious roots, whatever their religion might be. And I mentioned, of course, this was organized by a Catholic group, but just looking to the arts of various religions, to people we might call saints in our religion and some others might call them sages. We need all of this reawaken, recharge our spiritual energy, and we need it to help us heal the world, I guess you might say.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it wasn't just Pope Francis that addresses women. Pope Benedict did, and St. Pope John Paul II did. I mean, many popes addressed the value of women in the church and what they bring. I love St. Pope John Paul's letter to women, you know what I mean, that I read through in Tao.
I can't believe those were going to be my next words. And I know, well, I was on the women's, on the Vatican delegation to the, you know, conference in 1995 in Beijing on women, and I brought some of the little booklets with me of the Pope's letter, because, you know, there were people out there who were just, you know, well, first of all, why is the Vatican even at the conference? And then what on earth would they have to say about women since you don't have women priests? And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, divide that sentence into two parts. And I carried copies of the booklet with me. I have no idea how many of the people actually read it and gleaned something from it, but it's probably my favorite papal writing.
Yeah.
You know, and John Paul with his Evangelium Vitae and everything. It was just amazing. So,
yeah, it was one of my favorite things to read was St. Pope John Paul's letter to women, and I read that during an Endow series that I did at ECRC. And there's many writings of the – that's another thing, Joan. There's many writings by our popes that we don't read, and yet people are out there commenting about the church, but they're not reading any of the writings. They're not doing the research and not really understanding.
You know, well, as you and I and so many others, and, of course, you know, our wonderful Teresa, as we do, we have to read so many of these documents just because of our work, what we're doing right now, discussing them. Some documents are a lot longer. Your average working person, housewife, mom and dad are not going to have the time. I guess I should say they don't usually make the time. If you've got a family and you're raising kids and you're making dinner and you're going shopping and then the end of the day comes and it's, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock, are you going to sit down and read a papal encyclical? Probably not, but it's too bad because there's so much to be gleaned. And I think, you know, what we try to do in the media is read one, you know, whatever it is that a pope writes that comes out, and we have to write a summary of it. And
to explain it to other people.
Not with an eye to spin, but with an eye to summarize it and explain it. Yes, there are these beautiful teachings on life, teachings on women. Oh, my gosh, the topics are, you know, whatever is part of human life the church is interested in. They have offices. Yeah. You know, they have offices for sports, which a lot of people don't know.
We're talking with Joan Lewis here on Catholic Connection. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk to Joan about Cardinal Mueller's interview with great criticism of the Pope. We'll be right back after this after this break.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values,
Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Joan Lewis, Jones Rome from the Vatican is here with us on Catholic Connection. And switching gears a little bit here, Joan, let's talk about Cardinal Mueller's interview and the great criticism of the Pope and others, you know, in relation to what's going on with the Pope and his relationship with these bishops and cardinals.
Well, it's so interesting because, you and I were just talking about, you know, people having time to read things, and we've got this book-length interview that Cardinal Mueller, who was the former prefect of the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, a book-length interview he had with a very solid Italian journalist, Franco Gianzoldi. And it is just filled with criticism of the Pope, not the first criticism we've ever heard of Pope Francis, but he talks about a kind of a magic circle that gravitates around Santa Marta, composed of people who, in my opinion, says Mueller, are not prepared theologically. And there are people, well, I'm hearing that all the time, that who is close to the Pope, who's telling him some things, because he's hearing things that, you know, are not right. And Mueller, if any of our listeners remember when he came out in 2017, he had been prefect for 4 years of the Doctrine of the Faith. It was supposed to be a 5-year term. And he says in the book, and we heard it at the time, at the end of a routine meeting with Pope Francis, the Pope said to him, "You've completed your mandate. Thank you for your work." And the Pope didn't give me any reason at the time, nor has he given me one afterwards. And, I mean, that was just a bolt out of the blue is absolutely true, not only for the Cardinal, but for those of us who knew him and followed him, as you know, in his work as the prefect. So there's just so many questions. I think that the Cardinal is an extraordinary theologian, as was obviously Cardinal Ratzinger, Cardinal Ratzinger, Pope Benedict, but Cardinal Mueller criticizes those who are close to the Pope as not being of the theological level that they should be. And he said Cardinal Pell, for example, of course, who lived in the same building, by the way, in Rome, just about 8 blocks from where I am, he spoke of Cardinal Mueller spoke of Cardinal Pell's strong intellectual formation, his knowledge of patristic and systematic theology. And the Pope did say in his own interview with AP that just came out, the Pope did say that Cardinal Pell was a wonderful friend. And even though the Cardinal has written some, before his death, wrote under the name Demos, wrote some very negative things about the Pope was able in an interview with AP to praise Cardinal Pell and said he was a wonderful man who helped him a great deal in the Vatican. And certainly in setting the financial house of the Vatican in order. But, it's just a period of a whole bunch of interviews. We've got a lot of stuff to read from Cardinal Pell about Pope Francis. Pope Francis, in his interview with AP, said he recognizes full well that people have a right to criticize him, you know. And he said, yeah, you know, sometimes it hurts, but I know that people don't agree with me on everything, and that is their right. So just a whole bunch of interesting things coming out. And actually, what Cardinal Pell said, what Cardinal Mueller said, some of the first things that I read in the interview, again, it's a book-length interview, so I haven't seen it all, but there are things that I've been hearing for a number of years in Rome.
Yeah.
And people who work at the Vatican, people who cover the Vatican, people studying in Rome at pontifical universities and everything. So
yeah,
there are questions, and there are legitimate questions, and it seems we're getting answers to some questions in some of these interviews that have come out, and yet some of them raise more questions. So
yeah, well,
we have to carve that niche of time.
Yeah. You know, Joe, we have about a minute left with you, and I just want to address this latest one of, criticism of the Pope, lack of clarity and comments causing confusion, and this issue of making a comment that gay sex is not a crime. You know, an example, he comes out and that, in the Detroit News article, for instance, it isn't until paragraph 20 that he actually includes a full Francis quote that says it's not a crime, but it's a sin. So can you just, we have about a minute to address this.
Well, that's what upset me when I read the text of the translation of the quote. He just went on so much at length about the fact that people are criminalized in many, many countries for behavior, and he just goes on about that and countries not having a right, and they should not be criminalized, and then one sentence. Oh, and by the way, it is a sin for the church. Well, that's where a lot of people feel that the Holy Father, probably should have started with that. And, you and I know in an interview, we do interviews, we know that the context is, that the person's answer is often how the question is asked.
Sure.
How many times are there surveys we read online and you go, wow, they framed the survey to get a certain answer.
Sure, of course. So yeah.
Yeah,
I know. Joan Lewis, thank you. It's always a pleasure talking with you here on Catholic Connection. The time goes by so fast. There's never enough time, Joan. Thank you so much. God bless and all the work that you do.
Okay, and likewise to all of you and to our listeners.
Yeah, Joan Lewis from Rome, Joan's Rome. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll be back in the host chair on Monday. God bless you all.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.